you are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Mr. New York,
Mark Simone,
710 WOR.
Well, we got lots to get to this hour. We'll get to Alec Baldwin. We'll get to Davos. We'll get to shoplifting and a whole lot more. So, I mentioned Nikki Haley is making noise about running for president. Now, if you really don't know, if you're just observing from a distance, nice looking woman, very articulate, quite a resume. If you know Nikki Haley, dirty, treacherous snake. Awful, awful, backstabbing, treacherous woman. Did that to Donald Trump. Even Mike Pompeo, who's the nicest guy in the world. Very rarely would you hear Mike Pompeo badmouth anybody. Generally is such a mild guy, such a diplomatic guy, Mike Pompeo. He's just written a new book, and he made sure to put a chapter in there about how treacherous and dirty Nikki Haley is. And apparently, at one point, the Trump administration tried to run a coup to remove Mike Pence so she could replace him as vice president. It's one of the reasons she left when that failed, that coup attempt. Nobody trusted her again in that administration, so she finally quit and left. But even when she left the Trump administration, she made up a whole fake story about Trump being a racist, and she had to quit over that. None of that was true. She used that stupid Charlottesville stuff, that made-up story. Remember that fake story about how he said there were fine people in the Nazis? He never said that. If you listen to the clip, talking about the Nazi rally, and he said, there were fine people on both sides. Ooh, sounds bad, but they cut the next sentence where he said, now I'm not talking about the Nazis. They're to be totally condemned. I'm just talking about citizens who showed up because they were concerned about the statues. So she used that lie, knowing it's a lie, in her book, a dirty, treacherous snake, Nikki Haley. So she's already making noises about running. I think the problem she faces is anybody that knows her is going to come out and release all kinds of dirt about what a treacherous snake she is. So that should do her in. Latest I hear about DeSantis. Now, DeSantis is the finest governor in America. He's done an amazing job as governor. The most talented governor in America. But not the greatest speaker. You know, if you read one of his speeches, you go, wow, that's a brilliant speech. Then you tell somebody, yeah, go play the audio of him delivering it. With that voice of his. It just sounds off. Not a great speaker. He can become one. You remember, Mario Cuomo was the worst speaker in the world when he was lieutenant governor, secretary of state. A couple of years later, he was the best orator in America. You can learn that. You can develop that. You know, everybody forgets Bill Clinton made the worst speech ever at the 1988 Democratic Convention. In fact, he was ridiculed for how bad his speech was. Johnny Carson made jokes about him like every night for a month about how bad that speech was. 4 years later, he was the greatest orator in America, and he ran for. So DeSantis can, if he's got the talent, learn how to be a great speaker. But that'll take some time. He's also the worst debater in the world. But he can learn, so he's not ready yet. He's got to fix all that, just like Bill Clinton did and Mario Cuomo did. So what I'm hearing, DeSantis knows this and is probably not going to run this time. And he doesn't want to go, as somebody put it, he doesn't want to go through the meat grinder of running against Trump, which makes sense. So he'll make noise and let people talk about him running because it elevates your status. But he won't actually run at any time. But Nikki Haley, this will be the perfect target for Trump to chew up and spit out. So this will be great. The RNC, you know, they got this chairman, Rona McDaniel, whatever her name is, just totally ineffective. You could see in the midterms how ineffective this woman was. But she takes care of the donors. She's the one that just does whatever the donors want. So they're fighting to keep her there. You could have had Lee Zeldin as the RNC chairman, but he won't run. He said he knows it's all fixed and he's not going to run. So she is now campaigning, saying, I'm the one that'll get Donald Trump to go away. I'm the one that can keep him out. So he's running on an anti-Trump platform. Say, I don't know if you follow anything at Davos. Davos is this big convention, World Economic Forum. They all meet in Davos, Switzerland, from all over the world. The most treacherous, disgusting, evil globalists, these open borders idiots, led by this Klaus, whatever the hell, what's his name, Klaus Schwab. Grew up in Nazi Germany, thought that was a pretty good system. He's trying to bring that to the rest of us. He believes this Davos crowd wants socialism everywhere, open borders. Klaus Schwab, in this book, no private cars should be allowed. You should not be allowed to eat meat. The government will tell you what to do, where you can go. He also recommends that China take over and rule the world and that we be ruled by China. I'm not kidding. This is what this idiot is proposing. He's the head of this Davos nonsense. You saw Al Gore make a speech there, get totally unhinged. Al Gore, who's been wrong about everything, if you go back and get his movie, An Inconvenient Truth, from whatever it was, 15 years ago, run it now. It's hysterical. Every single thing he predicted in the movie never happened. Never happened. When he said, this glacier will be gone in 10 years. Well, that glacier doubled. It wasn't gone. Everything he predicts in the movie not only didn't happen, the total opposite happened. So he has no idea what he's talking about. This Davos crowd, and yesterday the big speech was about no meat. Nobody should be allowed to have meat anymore. And they just make up these reasons. You know, they got all these reasons why. You know, here's another one, recycling. How many years have you had to recycle? You know, it used to be throw out the garbage. Now, it's the most confusing, complicated thing. You can't remember what goes in the blue can, what goes in this can, what do you put in this can. This one says bottles. Glass and bottles here, then you can figure out, well, what about a tin soda can? Where's that? It's so complicated. Well, now a new study shows that about 95% of the recycling never got recycled. They don't actually recycle any of the recycling. And studies, a scientific study show, it'd be much better to put it in landfill. So everything they come up with is totally ridiculous and fake, like electric cars. Well, it turns out electric cars do more damage to the earth than gas cars do for a number of reasons. One, first of all, electric cars are powered by coal and fossil fuels. Where do you think the electricity comes from? You actually need more fossil fuel to make the electricity than if you just had a fossil fuel car. Not only that, these batteries are made of minerals. Where do you think those come from? You know, for the gasoline, you drill a little hole in the ground, a little hole, and that's where you get the gas. For the minerals for these batteries, you strip mine, which means you got to tear up half the earth, like just literally tear up the earth and strip mine it to get these minerals. And the other problem is the battery is like the size of a queen size bed. What do you think happens with this battery when the car's gone? Can't just throw it away. It's like a nuclear waste hazard almost, that battery. And if they end up with millions of them, nobody knows how much damage that could do to us, to the earth, to everything. So all of this green stuff, it sounds great, but it's basically just a myth. So a lot of officials now screaming about the shoplifting. It is out of control, besides the fact that it's just screwing up every store in New York. If you want to go in the drugstore and buy anything, it's now locked up. You know, there used to be couple of things were under plastic glass with a lock, and you had to call a manager or somebody with a key to open it and hand it to you. It was usually a very serious medicine or razor blades or something like that. Now it's everything. Everything. You want to buy dental floss? Locked up. Pack of gum? Locked up. It says push the button for someone to come open the lock. You'd think you just push the button and it's like the fire department. They come down a pole. They race to. No, you'll be waiting there 10 minutes for somebody to come open that. So it's just ridiculous. Now, that's not the big problem. The big problem with all this shoplifting, the loss prevention cost, the loss due to shoplifting is a fortune. So they've had to raise the prices like 25-30% on every item to cover the shoplifting. So it's got to stop. A lot of officials screaming about it. This is where you know what a useless guy Chuck Schumer is. He's nowhere to be found on this issue. You know, every time he does that Sunday press conference, it's about something ridiculous, like, you know, the width of seatbelts or some stupid thing. Where is he on shoplifting and doing something about this? Where is he on crime? You know, that stupid congestion pricing, which would be the most ridiculous ridiculous tax on everybody in New York, that congestion pricing. Where you don't, this guy just runs and hides when these things happen. Two congressmen, Lawler and Gottheimer, are fighting to stop this congestion pricing. They're now in Congress, and they're threatening to defund the MTA. You're going to try to take our money, we'll take your money. Here's Lawler.
Because it is nothing more than a tax on suburban commuters, outer borough residents, and a money grab by the most poorly managed authority in the United States of America.
Good for him.
And that hurts working class and middle class families. We have cops, we have firefighters, we have nurses, and they have to drive because they don't have good mass transit options.
That's Mike Lawler doing a great show. Hey, also, it's our street. You can't put a $23 tax on us to drive down our street. I understand an income tax, but you can't tax everything. You can't charge $25 to come over the bridge and then $23 to go down the street. It's absolutely ridiculous. Here's Gottheimer.
Can you imagine a hardworking nurse or taxi driver having to pay $5,000 a year on top of the $17 they pay to go over the GW Bridge?
Yeah. And, you know, you wonder why everybody's moving out, why people are moving to Florida. There's no income tax, no state income tax in Florida. They would never think, oh, you want to go down this street? Oh, it's an extra $23. Oh, you want to turn this way? $23. Ooh, you want to go over a bridge? Sorry, that's $25. This is insane. Absolutely ridiculous. Again, Schumer, Gillibrand, where are they on this? Hiding. You'll never see them again. Hey, we'll take some calls in a minute. I'm going to throw out this question. David Crosby passed away, and we mentioned this before. He founded two of the biggest groups in music. First, the Byrds, and then Crosby, Stills, and Nash. How many guys can you name? How many men or women? How many people can you name who founded two groups, two different groups that both went on to become huge? Huge. You could argue, I guess you'd say McCartney was one of the founders of the Beatles, and then Wings, but I don't think, okay, you can't really call Wings one of the biggest groups. But I'm talking about two major groups. How many people can you name that founded two huge groups in music? So look at this, Barry. This is like on page 97 in a newspaper. ABC correspondent Cecilia Vega will now go to 60 Minutes to be one of their correspondents. Boy, how times have changed. You remember years ago, somebody left 60 Minutes or somebody died. They were all very old. But when somebody died and there was a four-month search for the new 60 Minutes correspondent, it was a big thing. It was big news. Who would get this job? Well, now she gets the job. No search. They just give it to her, and it's buried in the back of the news. Doesn't mean anything. 60 Minutes used to be the number one show in America. 60 million people watching 60 Minutes. Now it's like 4 million. Somebody gets the job there. Nobody cares. Nobody notices. I don't even know who left. Who knows who left? So, hey, but you know what? Somebody put this up last night on the Twitter, and it's true. If you ever feel dumb, if you ever feel just that you're really stupid, just remember there are people that watch The View every day. So don't ever think you're dumb. Let's see. Here's the latest on Alec Baldwin. He is pictured for the first time going out. Where's he going? He's getting into an SUV in this video. You see the video of the wife? Reporters camped out all over the lawn, all over every place, waiting. And she finally comes out. And what a glare. What an icy glare she gives the reporters. Now, why would you come out into that mob? I guess, you know, if you had something important, you had a doctor's appointment, something you have to go to, you have to come out. She came out to get coffee somewhere. The one thing I guess you couldn't make at home, coffee. But, hey, also remember that wife is quite the con woman, too. Remember he marries a Spanish woman with a thick Spanish accent from Spain? Then they find out she's from Boston. Never even been to Spain. Just faked the whole thing. Now, how many kids do they have? They have like eight kids. He's got one kid from Kim Basinger. Oh, let me correct something, by the way. This phone call to the daughter, she was 11 at the time, 11 years old. Now, I played this before, but I could listen to this forever. This is Alec Baldwin calling his 11-year-old daughter. He lives in New York. She lives in California. I guess she, I don't know, she wouldn't take his call. Who knows? She's living with the ex-wife who's probably telling the daughter what to do. So this, if I didn't tell you what this was and I played it, it sounds like a mob guy threatening another mob guy. It's Alec Baldwin calling his 11-year-old daughter, and he leaves this message on her voicemail. Imagine you're an 11-year-old girl, and this is on your machine. Can you imagine this poor 11-year-old trying to sleep that night after hearing her father? This is the voicemail he left. Alec Baldwin talking to his 11-year-old daughter. He's a terrible guy. In fact, check out the webpage. Look at this video. Here's the one. You know, he would always get in these fights in the street with a reporter, with a photographer. You know, there's a lot of celebrities, like Chris Rock or whoever. Every time they go anywhere, it's photographers everywhere. They stop, smile for a minute, give them a little wave, let them take some pictures, and they move on. They don't start yelling and screaming and threatening them. But watch Baldwin with this one. And he starts yelling this anti-gay stuff, these ugly gay slurs. This is Baldwin yelled, caught on video. Well, he knows he's on video, but he's still yelling these anti-gay slurs. Take a look at this video. Hey, also, now watch this video. This is Will Smith, and he shows you what you're supposed to do on a set if somebody hands you a gun. This is what you're supposed to do. Take a look. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
WOR's Jesse Kelly.
Plant evidence on you and throw you in a dark hole for the next 50 years. Do you have any idea how many employees at the Federal Bureau of Investigation can do that to you?
Jesse Kelly. Weeknights 6 to 9 on 710 WOR.
Hey, big tech is a real danger. Now, they're supposed to be neutral, but a new book by Congressman Ken Buck blows the lid off their censorship. It's called Crushed: Big Tech's War on Free Speech. Now, in Crushed, Congressman Buck shows how Google, Facebook, and Twitter suppressed the truth about Hunter's laptop, the virus, President Trump, and more. Crushed shows how Google uses its monopoly to hurt consumers and silence conservatives. Big Tech controls the information flow, but they ignore your right to free speech. So if you're tired of this bias, you can fight back. First, get Ken Buck's book, Crushed. Then, all this week, watch Rob Schmidt's show on Newsmax. Because every night Rob will have Ken Buck on talking about Crushed and its revelations. You'll find out how Google uses search, ad networks, Gmail, even YouTube to censor conservatives. It's shocking stuff. Get the book by Ken Buck called Crushed today. And watch Rob Schmidt tonight on Newsmax. I watch it. Millions do. You should, too. Watch Newsmax TV.
Want to know one of the most successful investment opportunities during both a recession and an economic boom? Hint, it's where you shop every day. Grocery store anchored commercial real estate with over one.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.